We've been speaking about the fact that we have a generation that has not seen the move and the power and the demonstration of that power of the Holy Spirit. They've heard about it in days of old. Some of them were part of it, maybe little pieces of it, but they saw just enough crazy that it scared them away. Because some people got emotionalism mixed up with the Spirit. And sometimes that can be confusing. But we threw the baby out with the bathwater, and instead of just shaking the weird out of it, we just threw the whole thing away. So we don't want that. We want church to be fun. We want church to be the happy place. We just want to go to the house and house of peace. Nothing wrong with the house of peace. Nothing wrong with having fun at church. Nothing in enjoying and wanting to be there. Nothing wrong with small groups. We have to have them. How else are we going to keep a church organized? It's great to have a coffee shop because we like the conveniences of having that. Some people, it saves time when they're trying to get in the morning. We're trying to do all the creature comforts we can. Nice to have air conditioning. Nice to have cameras. Nice to have pews. But let me make this clear. That's not why we're here. Amen. These are things to help facilitate the move of God, but they have nothing to do with the move of God. And I just want to draw these clear lines in the sand because this is part three and perhaps the last part of the series. We'll see how far I get today. But I want to read from you. I'm going to read a New King James Version. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Say mystery. Now, if you have your Bibles and you're able, I want you to circle it, underline it. If you have an app, hit the highlight button. Whatever you have to do, but I want you to pay attention to that word mystery. The hidden wisdom. The mystery is the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Something's hidden, and it's hidden in a mystery. There's a wisdom that reveals it, and it's for our glory. That means it's for you. Say it's for me. So there's some things that God put in you that you have no idea there. But the Spirit's what's going to have to reveal them. So with that said, verse 14 says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God." If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to receive the things from the Spirit. Because it says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, it considers them foolishness. So a lot of people will see the move of God. They'll see the things that God's doing. And because they can't discern it by the Spirit, they look at it like foolishness. It says, "And cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." Now, I say this because I was one of those people. I was raised from a denominational background. I didn't even know what tongues were. I didn't even know they existed. Somehow it never got taught at my church. I don't know why. Knew how to get somebody saved. Sure did. Knew all about evangelism, some of the best evangelism teaching I've ever heard. Salvation? Owned it. Man, we could talk about salvation. Whew, all day long. The cross? Bring it. Holy Spirit? That was the thing that was for them in the days of ministry through Jesus. And, that helped them back in those days. But that's just something that comes automatically when you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes in with you and then he just kind of hangs out there. Never talks about what he does. Never even was taught that. Yeah, we were taught the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but it was still kind of a one thing that's out there. It was always like, somewhere out there. God's somewhere out there. And when I finally learned that no, God came and decided to send his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And I got that part pretty easy. And so I wanted to be free from my sin, so I let the blood of Jesus cleanse me from that sin. But there was a third, the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't until I realized that when Jesus left the earth, he said, "I will send one that will come. So he's checking out and somebody else is checking in. And he said it'll be the Holy Spirit. You mean the Holy Spirit is going? So God never left the earth. People get confused. God never left the earth. He came in the form of Jesus through his word, with the word made flesh. Holy Spirit came. Jesus departed. Holy Spirit now, Jesus isn't with you. Jesus now is in you. Because until Jesus came, the spirit of absolute truth can't cohabitate with untruth. So you had to be completely cleansed and represent truth. God doesn't see your past. The Bible says he keeps no records of wrongs. He'll remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. He'll cast it in the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more. That's what the Bible says. So when he sees you, he sees Jesus. So therefore, the Holy Spirit now can live in you. Well, if he sent his spirit, and his spirit was sent here to live in you, now it's not Jesus with us, it's Jesus in us, right? But through the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. So how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? And I think it's a pretty good question. Because it said, who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, you can't have the mind of Christ until you first have the Spirit of Christ. Does everyone understand that? Yeah. And so, I fought this for years. Because I thought, because I knew the Bible, and I did, I thought I knew the Bible pretty well. Because I was saved, that was it. That now I'm just going to do my work here on earth, and I'm going to go to heaven, and then that was it. I didn't even know you could pray for people and they'd get healed. I mean, we pray for God, if it be your will. How many people were taught the if it be your will prayer? God, if you see fit, God, I'm just going to turn it over to you. You're sovereign, and whatever you feel, I'll accept. Wasn't the enemy having a field day then? It's like me giving you a 12-gauge shotgun, loading it, and saying, if a bear comes in the yard, shoot it. And the bear walks in, and you say, Dad, I hope the bear's gone. Let the bear be gone. What about that shotgun I gave you? No, I'm just trusting you, Dad. I know you left me the gun. I know you left me the ammo, but you're going to take care of everything. So what will be done, will be done. And you are bear food. Nobody fought it any harder than I did. Speaking of tongues, that's from the devil. Because I'd always heard it was. Can't be real. And I was an educated man. And so I like to educate people who are uneducated. So when I went to a Pentecostal church for the first time, I saw a bunch of uneducated people. I'm just going to tell you the truth. What was it? I'm not saying all Pentecostals. I'm saying that church. Some I don't think made it out of the third grade. I'm just being honest. And they were acting to me foolish because I saw them doing things that I didn't understand, that I wasn't taught. And I thought just because I was more educated than them, I was smarter than them, that I knew better than they did. And I acted right and they acted wrong. Who am I talking to now? And I'm not saying some of that stuff, you know, is too weird for me. Still too weird for me. Because it's not of God. But too much of it was. And so I had to start making the determination. A pastor came to me, and I'm in this service, and he said, let's pray. He had asked me to be the youth pastor of a spirit-filled church. I'm not spirit-filled. So I'm in church, sitting there, hands in my pocket, because we were reverent. And I heard all this noise.
pastor's praying and everybody's making noise. And I'm over there going, shh, shh. These ignorant people won't be quiet. And I cracked my eye. When I looked over to the right, I saw him. I slid my hand down in my pocket, and I grabbed my pocket knife. Jesus is my witness. And I took my thumb and I flipped the blade out. And I said, Lord, you get me out of here. And I won't hurt anybody, and I don't want anybody to hurt me. And I promise you, I will never come back here again. I am in a nut house. That happened. And then we stopped praying, and you know, I thought, I'll just get through this service. It was crazy. At the end of the service, I was mad. I was just pure mad. I would have said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. He said, what? I said, taking advantage of all these ignorant people. He said, what? I said, what was that? What kind of craziness is that? Thank God had a seasoned pastor. Very good countenance. He just smiled. He says, well, you seem like an educated man. Talk about setting yourself up for failure. I just walked right into the bear trap. Pride comes right before the fall. I said, as a matter of fact, I am, because I had just graduated and I had my doctorate. He said, so what I'm going to do, I'm not going to have a discussion with you. He said, all I want to do is give you some scriptures, and I want you to go home and read them. And when you come back, we'll discuss them, and you can say whatever you like. You can ask me any question you want. Well, I was a student. I thought, okay, country boy, hand them over. I was going to go through. I mean, I was fixing to reference them out. I was going to cross-reference interlineal. I had it. Problem is, every time I read one of the scriptures, I'd never seen that before. Yeah. To the point is, I had to go back and make sure he didn't give me a false scripture, because I was like, this ain't in there. Now, I've been reading the Bible my whole life, and I never saw this. They just skipped right over those verses. So then I start trying to prove him wrong. The more I tried to prove him wrong, the more I proved him right. And I had to go back to that man. I'm not going to tell you I went back and said, oh, fill me with the Spirit. Oh, no, 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 no. I went back, and I'm at least have enough integrity. I said, okay, I did what you said. And I see now that what you're doing is okay, by the word. It's just not for me. Anybody ever been there? Some of y'all there right now. What'd you do? So I went to church, and I kept going there, and I started seeing it, and I started understanding it, studying more, hearing more, teaching, preaching on it. I started actually paying attention. And these people who I thought were ignorant knew so much more than I did. I didn't realize I was still a babe in Christ and didn't know it. And so when I started learning about all these different things, and it, you know, I remember I just wanted to receive the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Some people say, why do you do that? Put up, was it Mark 16:17? Put that up. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Who believe? Who's the believer? Isn't that everybody in a church that believes? So there should be a sign that follow them people. Are you one of them peoples? Say, I'm one of them peoples. If you're one of them peoples, then that sign's supposed to follow you. It said, my name, they'll drive out demons. Do you drive back demons constantly? I hope you do. I hope you speak them away from your house, away from your family. You better be driving them out. If you're not, they will take over. They'll move in. They'll move in. You hear me? And they love to hang out with your kids. They'll ride right there in the car with you. You better cast it out of the car before they get in it. Cast it out of their internet. Cell phones. Don't you be afraid to pray over a cell phone. They will drive out demons. Nobody has a problem with that, right? That's not weird, right? Okay, we're still doing that, right? Yes, amen. What's that next one say? Oh, they will speak in new tongues. Oh, they will speak in new tongues? Who? Everybody point yourself and say, that's talking to me. Are you speaking in tongues? If you're not, these signs aren't following you. Something ain't lining up. Well, I'm smart enough to know when I read Scripture, my life wasn't lining up. I didn't have that. So I said, well, I want that. But I kept waiting for God to come and take my tongue. Go, blah, 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 blah. He's not going to do it. You have to speak in faith. I didn't go down to an altar and go, God, just get do it. Do it. Come on, get it over with. Save me. Said you had to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. You got to do something you have to do. That he died on a cross for my sins, and that God raised him from the dead. Now, you have to do all three of those things. First, you just have to get to the, you have to believe that. But believing's not enough. What do you have to do? Somebody say, speak! You got to speak. And until you speak, you're not saved. Believe all day long. Why? Because it says you have to confess. Believe and confess. Believe and confess, Romans 10 and 9. That those things are true. And if you believe it and confess it, it says what? Then you'll be saved. But you ain't getting saved before that. So you say you believe, but you ain't speaking in tongues. And you're calling me weird because I speak in tongues? I'm just a believer doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, you might not like it when I walk around and I order the demons out of my household, when I order the demons out of my life, but I do it every morning just in case one slipped in somehow when I wasn't paying attention. I don't care if it looks weird to you. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And when I pray in tongues, because it's, why do I even pray in tongues? Why do I even pray in tongues? Because 1 Corinthians 14:2, I'll read from the NIV, says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue, what tongue? The tongues that you speak in because you're a believer, does not speak to people. I'm not talking to you. It says, but to God. I'm talking to God, directly to God. People don't understand it, and the devil doesn't understand it. Indeed, no one understands them. No one, not the devil, not the demons, not the people around you. No one understands what I'm praying when I'm praying in tongues but God. Now, I don't know you, that's kind of like having your own isolated channel communication with God with nobody listening in. I like to have a private line to God. Then the devil doesn't know what I'm praying about, what I'm believing for. Somebody say amen, that makes sense. So why do I pray in tongues? Because anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but in God, no one understands them, but they utter mysteries. That's that word again. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Where did I just hear that? Oh, over in 1 Corinthians 2:7, where it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom, that stuff that's hidden in your life. Remember how he packed that in there? So somewhere in your life it would have to be revealed. And then once it's revealed, then it can work for your glory. That's what it says here. Before the ages, for our glory. Something's hidden in you. And you're hidden in time. And the Spirit needs to reveal it to you. How? Because when you speak in tongues, it says they utter the mysteries. The mysteries that were hidden now become revealed. Is that what the Bible says? Don't take my word. Is that what the Bible says? Am I taking anything out of context? No. There's mysteries that are hidden. When we speak by the Spirit, because we believe we're supposed to do that, then that mystery now is revealed. Now, that thing that God had in me, at the time I need it, can be released because nothing in the earth realm is manifested until something is spoken by the word. God was here. Everything to make the earth was here. Said he even brooded over the waters. But until he spoke, nothing happened. So if you're just waiting on something to happen, then you're just waiting on something to happen. If you were waiting on salvation, until you confess it. Come on, somebody. Nothing happens. So why are we so weird with it with the Spirit? So until you speak in tongues, what every believer is supposed to be doing, how can that hidden thing that God needs to reveal on your timeline, how can it be revealed? But when you do, it is. Why do you think Paul said pray in tongues daily? I need the wisdom of God for my life every day. And if I'm not praying in tongues, it's not being revealed to me. So speaking in tongues is kind of a pretty big thing. I've often heard people say, why you speaking in tongues doesn't edify people. No, it edifies yourself. I don't know about you, but we all need a high level of edification. We need to be edified. How can we help someone else if we're not edified ourselves? So speaking in tongues is not weird or a choice. It's a command from God that follows. That's one of the signs. How do I even know you're a believer? Because you have a King James tucked under your arm? Because you have a Bible app in your phone? Because you got a fish sticker on your car? What sign do I have to even know you're a believer? Oh, speaking in tongues, that's what. That's how I know that you really believe. Oh, that just turns the tables on everybody. And I fought that, and I fought that. When I saw that, I went, oh, my God, I'm not lining up. So then I wondered, didn't know how to get it. See, everything in my life I had to earn. I worked for everything. My parents are good to me, don't get me wrong. They helped me and did things. But to get it, I had to work for it. My dad taught me that. My mom taught me that. You work to get what you get. My first job was 12 years old working greenhouses. Me and my sisters, all of us, we were trained to work from a very, very young age. So I was going to earn this thing, this Holy Ghost thing. I was fasting until my drawers hit my knees. I lost so much weight, those two pockets just turned into one. Cinch that belt around me. No Holy Ghost. Didn't happen. So I thought, well, I'm not spending enough time. I'd go to my recliner and study for 4 and 5 hours at a time. Still not speaking in tongues. What's wrong here? I'm trying to earn it. So, 7 vital steps to receiving the Holy Spirit, book by Kenneth Hagin. I was in the Pentecostal world then, and I was told that Kenneth Hagin was demonic. So I'm in a Christian bookstore, and I see that book, The 7 Steps to Receiving the Holy Spirit, and I wanted the Holy Spirit. It would have been easier for me to go buy a bottle of whiskey than it would have been to pick that book up off that table, because I believe everybody at church would have forgiven me for the whiskey bottle, but they wouldn't forgive me for picking up that demonic book. It was so bad, I went over and did the, anybody ever sidearm something? Walk clear to the back corner of the Christian bookstore. I read it in about 15 minutes. I'm a quick reader. And I read, and it was all there. Scripture. I thought, this isn't demonic. This is the Word of God. Are you crazy? And I sat there, and there it was. You know what it said? It just... Revelation. It said, it is a gift of God. It's free and you can't earn it. Don't earn it. I've earned everything in my life. I'm over here trying to perform for it, trying to be a better person, trying to do this, try to pray more. No, just receive it. It doesn't matter where you're at. Just get it. I'm giving it to you. Take it. I said, that's too easy. But isn't that just like salvation? And it hit me. I went, oh my God, I didn't make that big a deal of salvation. Why am I making this? I made it too hard. We happened to be in revival that week. And that night, I was a youth pastor then, my second term as a youth pastor. And I'm praying for one of the members, one of my youth. And man, I felt the anointing hit me, and I shut that up. Scared me so bad, I ran over and I told Nisa, I said, Nisa, something happened over there. So I said, I don't know, man, I think I spoke in tongues. She goes, you did good. I said, no, that ain't good. It scared the crap out of me. I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, I don't know about you, but I like to be in control. Where did that come? What was that? What does it even mean? I promise that happened. You ask her. I ran over in the middle. I had to stop praying. So I went home, started reading those scriptures again. And I thought, well, that was the Holy Spirit. That was evidence of speaking in tongues. I didn't do it. It just came out of me. So I said, okay, tonight, if it hits me again, I'm just going to let her go. So back then, I don't know when Chaz will be able to shed some light on this for you, but I was a drummer at church. So we're in revival. If you've ever been in a Pentecostal church in revival, you're playing for hours. Pentecostal, you ain't playing nothing slow. Everything. I'm lathered up. I mean, I look like a Saint Bernard at Panama City Beach. I had white stuff on my neck, dripping every part of me. Well, we was having it. We was having a revival. Scott, come off of those drums. I said, what? He said, man. Evangelist said, Scott, I need you to come over here off those drums. And I ain't told nobody but Nisa what happened to me. He said, the Lord said he has something for you tonight. I walked over and I said, okay. I stood right there. See, I'd been up to that altar many times, and I'd had them smacking my forehead and up under my chin and loose your tongue, hold on, turn loose. I didn't know if I was holding or turning or loosing or coming or going or binding. I never know what was happening to me. I came away from the altar. I felt abused every Sunday that day, and I still didn't have the Spirit of God. I was worn out. Here I am again. What do you got this time? I miss it. This time, though, I'm wringing wet and I'm panting. He said, Nisa, come over here. And he takes Nisa's hand. He said, the Lord told me you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he takes her hand and puts it on me. When he did, it was like a cannon went off. And I didn't hold anything back. Straight to fluent tongues, and I bet I must have prayed in tongues for 10 minutes. That was hidden in me before the ages. And I'm fully convinced that what I'm doing right now happening because of what I was willing to release back then. I wasn't speaking for right then. I was speaking for what happened this morning. I was speaking for what's going to happen next week. I was speaking for what's about to happen to the nation. I was speaking to when your life's about to change, and your life's about to change, and your life's about to change. And what you're speaking is about to change your life, and about to change your life. And you're about to do some things you haven't done before. You're about to see some things you haven't seen before. You're about to experience some things you haven't seen before. Why? Because they're hidden in you. And they're waiting for you to speak them out. You wonder why tongues has fought so hard? Because you're releasing the hidden wisdom of God to be released for our glory. You think the enemy wants the church glorified? Do you think he wants you to come into fruition of all of your giftedness so you can run his demons out of town and mess up everything he's doing? You were put here to destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus put the Holy Spirit in you. And until you start driving them away, as believers do, and start speaking in tongues so some things can be released into this earth, we cannot see change. Well, you spoke in tongues and then give an interpretation. Well, good, that was for me. I just released something out. But what I released still might end up being for you. Right. Now, last week, the Lord had me speak in tongues, and he gives me the gift of interpretation. I interpreted it, too. But it doesn't have to be. Don't be confused. But the real question is here, is do we speak in tongues or do we not? What does the Scripture say? Put Mark 16, 17 up there again. Because anybody that's doubting, you cannot get past this scripture. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what denomination you belong to. And if you want to start saying, oh, that was for them back then, you're going to have a hard time finding a stopping point of exactly when that stopped. Because the book of Acts never ended. It's still going. So how can you put a stopping point in between a book that was never closed out? The answer is you can't, all the way to the book of Revelations. Oh, read it with me. And these signs will come. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will. Who? All of us. They will speak in new tongues. I can't make it any clearer than that. I told you what we're supposed to do. I told you why we do it. I've heard a lot of reasons why we speak in tongues. Yes, a personal private prayer language, but it's to release the hidden things, the mysteries of God. It says we speak the mysteries. Just do what the scriptures say. Now you know you're supposed to do it. Now you know why you're doing it. Now, because you know what happens when you do it, now you know what to expect. And it's through the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit that God's works are manifest in the earth. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It only happens through the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to shut this down. Do you understand it? Was I completely clear? That'll leave any doubt for anybody. See, the problem is we got a generation here, and they don't know what to do. Listen, in my generation, we had some praying grandmamas. And when you weren't living right, they knew. And it wasn't because somebody told them, wasn't because mama told them, it's because they had been praying on their knees all night. And the Lord told them where you were. And so you'd be sitting in church, and grandma would get up, and she would come and get you. And she didn't ask you. She would take your hand and bring you down to the altar. And when you got down to the altar, you were going to get prayed for. And let me tell you something, you didn't get to decide how long you were going to stay. Because I'd be like, yeah, I'm about to be done. No, I'm not done. And you heard some, say what you want, but you felt the power of God. You may not have understood it, but you cannot say that you did not see the demonstration. And that's why our generation still has some of it. But who is going to train this next generation? They have
to see it. Don't get me wrong. I know in freedom classes, we get free back there, and we do all this stuff back there. And I heard somebody confront me about, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't do that in the main sanctuary because it scares people off. Let's just leave it hidden like the other churches. I don't know, in the book of Acts, why didn't they hide it? Because it seems like when they started speaking in tongues, the church got added to. Look, like thousands of people started coming to the church because they weren't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They weren't trying to hide him in a back room with a freedom sticker on the door. No, it's you can have him back there, but you can also have him out here. No, somewhere the people have to see the move and the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And I'm declaring today, this church is going to be one of those churches. Come on, somebody. Stand to your feet and give the Lord some praise in here. Come on, if you believe the Spirit of God and we're going to have a move of God in this place, then you give God your best praise right now. Not some half-baked praise. You give him your best praise right now. Come on, somebody, give him some praise. A move of God is the power of God moving in the people. It's not something that just sweeps through. He moves in and he expects you to respond. Now, I don't know how I studied. I bet I've got how many hours I've spent going through all this. Because I tried to sift and sift and sift and sift and sift and just get it down to the core basic. I can't make it any easier to understand than what I taught today. That's all I got. Now, if you want to get detailed, I'll give you scripture upon scripture. We'll be here all day. But to sift it down to where you can intelligently now speak it to someone. You show them Mark 6:17. Where they are required to do it. You show them 1 Corinthians 2:7. And you show them the hidden mysteries. And you show them verse 14 when it says that it can't be understood by the human mind. It has to be understood and revealed by the Spirit. And the only thing you could, the only way we can do it through Mark 6:17 is if we speak it. And I don't know about you, but everything's God's hidden and tucked away in my life. I want to see it. I want it to be revealed. I don't want to get to heaven and go, oh, man, you had that packed away in your closet. You never pulled it out. Why? Because you didn't want to speak in the Spirit. By speaking in tongues. I'm going to speak every day. I'm going to speak all through the day. Because I don't know exactly what moment he needs to pull whatever he has out for me. And I don't want to miss out on it. And what if he's pulling something out for me and it might be for you? Well, then I've let you down. See, it's not always all about us. Think differently, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Church, if we're going to see the power of God moving, we got to start doing what his word declares. Pertaining specifically to the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, if you're not praying in tongues every day, then you're not doing what the word declares. How many of you, when you go home, you're going to cast out the demons out your home, out the cell phones, out the computers, out your neighborhood, out of your boss? Just don't let them hear you. How many people are going to start speaking in tongues? Now watch this. How many people in here are filled with the Spirit with the manifestation of speaking in tongues? Raise your hand. Okay, put them down. That means the rest of you aren't. Let me see your hands that aren't. It's not to embarrass you. Who does not speak in tongues? Okay, watch this. Put them down. That's great. Do you want to? Do you want to? Say yes if you want to. Loud so I can hear you. Okay, yeah. Why would you not want to receive a free gift? I just want you to have, I don't want you to go through all the complications in the middle aerobics I had to go through just to speak in tongues. It's ridiculous. If you want to do it, the Bible says seek and you'll find. If you ask him, he said knock, the door will be open. So if you want it, he's going to give it to you. Watch this, you ain't got to come down here today. He's going to do it right where you're standing.
After a powerful move of God, you always get a couple of people that are wondering, and, you know, what happened in service? Was that real? Was it not real? And, you know, you have to convince them. Well, let me just tell you a little story real quick. There was a man who was afraid of the things of God, didn't really want anything to do with them. Thought it was weird, just was in fear about things, and just, I don't know, he'd come to church every once in a while, but he just couldn't buy in. One of our church members sent me a picture. Last week's service, when everyone was getting filled with the Holy Spirit, this man who didn't want to have anything to do with the things of God, his wife took a picture of him standing. He was in his man cave in Montana watching this service in front of the TV set, crying. When the church member called to check on him, he said he was still trying to talk to the church member. He couldn't even talk. He's so full of spirit. Please be careful before you touch the things of God that you don't understand. Don't put your mouth on it, please. There was another young man, my son's age, who was here. And one of the pastors here had noticed them and actually thought they were waiting for someone. And when they walked out, they said, "No, we're waiting to talk to you." They said, "Why?" And during the power of that spirit, the move of the spirit, he said he came in here ready to commit suicide. He was in such fear. But the power of God delivered him. And that isn't just a saved soul, that's a saved life. That's what the power of God does. Whether you believe in it, whether you don't, it's still going to, he's still going to do what he does. So where you are right now, I like what the church member told me about the man cave in Montana. He said, "See, spirit has no distance." So you don't have to be right here in front of me. You can be right there in your pew. Now here's what you do. Everybody lift up your hands. Now it says, to them that believe, said they shall, they will, depending on the translation you use, they will speak in a new tongue. Speaking in a new tongue is something you do, and you do it by faith. You open your mouth and trust what's coming out is of the Lord. He's not going to make a noise come out of your mouth. You have to just start speaking in tongues. I made it way too hard. So right now, I want everyone here praying in tongues. Just start praying in tongues. Loud, I want to hear you. If you've never spoken in tongues before, just start speaking in tongues. Right there, just start. Start speaking out. I know when it comes out, it may be like, "Well, that doesn't even make sense. It sounds like gibberish." No, it's your prayer language. Just speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Don't worry. The more you talk, the better he'll refine your language. Come on, speak it out. Those of you that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you speak out loud now. Just go ahead. Start speaking in tongues right there. Do it. Do it now. Speak. 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 Keep speaking. You got to move your mouth. You got to say words. Say it. Say it. Say something. Come on, start speaking. Say words. That's it. That's it. Start saying words. Just if you don't know what to say, just start saying something. You have to, there it is. It'll come. Yep, yep. Hey, somebody just got it over there. I feel somebody just got the baptism over there. Oh, say it, say it, say it. Somebody over here just, yep. Right here. Keep speaking, keep speaking. I felt that in the spirit. Right now, you're releasing things that are hidden inside of you that God's been waiting to release for years. Now those things can begin to work in your favor. Things begin freeing up. Things begin lining up. Things begin making sense. Favor starts coming where you had none. Healing starts breaking through. Yeah. Speak it out. Don't be afraid of it. That's it. Speak it out. This is what it looks like. This is what it sounds like. One mind, one cord, one spirit. Speaking in tongues. Driving out demons in his name. Now repeat after me, say, in Jesus' name, I drive out every demonic force from my life, from my family, from my friends, from my church, from my community, from my area, from my region, from my state, from my country, and from this world. Anything I come in contact with will no longer have any influence from demonic forces. I drive you out in Jesus' name, out of my thought process, out of my heart, out of anyone that I know or have fellowship with. I drive you out in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, give God some praise. Now, we just got something done there. We just got something done there in the spirit. Yeah. We just got something done there. Yeah, that's change. That was real. Lift up your hand if you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit just now. Those of you that look at the hands, see, I heard it over there. I heard you. In the spirit, I didn't hear it with my ears. I heard it in my spirit. So see, they raised their hand. They asked for it. They received it. That's how you do it. You don't have to earn it. That's a move of God. Nobody had to pat them or touch. No, it's just the power of God. And that's how it works. And you better get used to it because you're going to start seeing it a lot more. You're going to start seeing some other things you haven't seen before. Because God's going to be God in this house. And we're going to give him the freedom to be able to do what he wants to do. Amen. Everybody lift up your hands. Father, I want to thank you today. I want to honor you for your goodness, for your kindness, for your mercy, for your graciousness, and for your willingness to move in the spirit on our behalf. Lord, I am so grateful for the move of God that we have just been experiencing. I thank you for being so faithful to your word to watch over to perform it. I am so thankful for the change that you have created and for the change that's going to happen in the future because of the things that were spoken here today. Because of the hidden mysteries that have been revealed, we're all better and our futures are going to be a whole lot better than our past. In Jesus' name, we pray, celebrate, and say amen. Come on, give God some praise in here. Come on, give him some praise. And as a church, I know I tell you this sometimes, but I want you to know it. When I say you're the best sheep in the world, I mean it. Because you get it. And you are willing to get it. And I want to let you know I commend you. You're some of the finest people I've ever met. And it's an honor to do ministry with you. So thank you. The Hanans love you. Glory to him. And if we can ever be of any service to you, that's why we're here. But the only thing I will ever tell you is never follow a man past God's word. That means me, Pastor Joe, Pastor Sam, Pastor Hunter, any, never follow anyone beyond God's word. Amen? Come on one more time, give him some praise up here as announcements come up.